Why don't we begin this morning by joining together in reciting Psalm 23. If you don't have it memorized, you can certainly use the outline. It's printed for you on the outline. I assume many of you have it, at least parts of it, memorized. If you memorized it in the King James or some other version, just go ahead and say it the way you memorized it. I'll wait a moment just in case someone actually is a little fearful. I spent about 20 minutes last night going over it again and again because I figured the one thing you don't want to do is stand up and then start messing up Psalm 23 in front of everybody. Everybody ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Since we're on that, why don't we join together and then also reciting Psalm 150. Ready? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His highest heavens. You guys aren't going to join in? It's funny how Psalm 23 has that place in our minds and in our memories, doesn't it? That we look at Psalm 23 and those words, and whether it's because we memorized it as a child or just because those words are so beloved to us that we've read them over and over again, it's one of those psalms that regardless of the translation, we can oftentimes just repeat most of it from memory. Psalm 23 was written by a shepherd, King David. And you certainly see some of those experiences he must have had as a shepherd come through as he thinks about how his God and his Savior serve as his shepherd. It's a picture God repeats a number of times through the pages of His holy word, describing Himself as a shepherd and His people as His flock, the sheep of His pasture. And so this morning we have the privilege of being able to look a little bit closer at those words from Psalm 23, and especially as we do so in that context of Easter, to be able to rejoice because our Redeemer lives to be our shepherd. King David knew a little bit about sheep and about being a shepherd. In fact, before he became king, that was his job. We heard about it a little bit in our first lesson this morning, didn't we? About the dangerous and hard work it took to be a shepherd. It wasn't just simply a matter of having a group of sheep that you kind of just had to lead around and make sure they had enough green grass and fresh, clean water to drink. But if you remember from 1 Samuel, David's talking about lions and bears, and how if one of them came and attacked his flock, he'd go after it and rescue the sheep from the mouth. And he talks about grabbing the hair of the bear or the lion and striking it down. You kind of had to be a tough guy to be a shepherd. I'm not sure I'm ready to go running after a bear or a lion. I might just say, well, write that one off, but I'll just keep the rest over here by me. It was difficult, hard work, and especially when you know a little bit about sheep. Sheep are apt to wander, to stray, to kind of put their head down, start eating, and just walk in a straight line, irregardless of anything else that's going on around them. As you think about it, it's no wonder that God used that picture of a shepherd and sheep to describe His relationship with His people, huh? If you know a little bit about Old Testament Bible history, you know the Israelites were apt to stray every once in a while, or perhaps a little bit more than once in a while. God knew the grave spiritual danger they were putting themselves in, and He wanted to serve as their shepherd who would guard and protect, who would provide and guide them. And yet, like sheep, they strayed. They wandered off and began worshiping false gods, and God would send them prophets and people to bring them back, and they would come back for a little time, but then they'd wander off again. God's prophets, God's people knew they were sheep that were apt to stray. And because they strayed, God had made it very clear to them they needed not just a shepherd, but a savior. King David, that shepherd who wrote those beautiful words of Psalm 23, knew that he was apt to stray. He strayed one night as he was on top of his palace and saw a beautiful woman, Bathsheba. He strayed as he committed murder and made sure that Bathsheba's husband wouldn't come back. He strayed as his pride took hold of his heart at times and he counted his troops after God specifically told him not to. David strayed and knew his failures as a parent as he looked at his family and the absolute dysfunction that reigned there. David knew his heart. He knew as one of God's tender and dearly loved sheep, he too was apt to stray. And because of that sin, because of that tendency to stray away from his shepherd, to stray away from God, he knew the sin that reigned in his heart, and he knew that he needed a shepherd. He knew that he needed a Savior. My guess is, as you look at your life, you, like King David, know how you are apt to stray. Maybe it's because those failures you've had as a husband or a wife, those memories you have tucked in the back of your mind that you'd prefer that would just stay there, but every so often come out and remind you of your sin and how you've strayed from the child of God He wants you to be. Or perhaps it's like King David, knowing the failures we've had as parents and how we've raised our families. And the guilt of that weighs on our hearts and on our souls. Or perhaps it's how we act at work or around our friends or at school. Perhaps we see how we've strayed and how we speak to one another, how the anger at times just comes flying out before we even have a chance to really speak or think about what we're saying. You and I, like David, are sheep. And because we have sinful hearts and sinful minds that produce sinful actions, you too, like King David and the Israelites, are apt to stray. It's why the prophet Isaiah is able to say about all of us, we too, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. You and I, like the Israelites and King David, need a Savior, a shepherd who will save us from the spiritual danger our sin puts us in. And then you turn to those words from Psalm 23, written by a shepherd who knew his need for a Savior. And we see David talk about a shepherd who restores his soul. First picture that pops into my mind when I talk about restoration is probably like a car. Right? Yeah, you might read articles or have friends that, you know, they take and you show you the before picture and it's this rusted up, beat up junker of a car. And then they restore it and that after picture, I mean, it looks like it's brand new off the showroom floor, right? It's been restored. It's what our shepherd does for us. It's why he came. He came to take beat up junkers like you and me, sheep that are apt to stray, and with his perfect life and death, restores us. It started at our baptism. That as a pastor took water and applied it to us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God promised us that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He created faith in our hearts. He washed away our sin and brought us into God's flock, made us his children. So that now, as God looks at you and me, he no longer sees sin and our failures as spouses, parents, children, students, employers, and employees. No, now through Christ, he sees what? Perfection. He sees perfect parents. He sees perfect husbands and wives. He sees perfect children and students. Not because we're perfect on our own, but because we've been clothed in Christ's perfection. At our baptisms, God took the perfection that Christ earned here on earth by perfectly keeping God's commands, and he graciously clothes us in it. He covers us in it. So that as God looks at us, he no longer sees sin, but he sees perfection. King David, in Psalm 23, talks about our shepherd being a redeemer. It's really the whole idea of Easter, isn't it? That we've been redeemed, that we've been bought back. That because of our sin, we belong to the devil, but Jesus came in order to buy us back. And the price he had to pay to make us his own, to welcome us into his flock, was his own blood. And so he graciously goes to the cross, sheds that blood, and pays the price that our sin demanded, death. And so as our substitute, Jesus dies in our place to make us his own, washes us clean, forgives all of our sins. The result of that, King David describes as our shepherd, he lays out before us a table in the presence of our enemies. No longer do we need to fear sin and the devil and death, but instead we enjoy this feast of victory because our Savior has been victorious. He's conquered sin and death. And so we are able to eat in the presence of our enemies because those enemies have been conquered by our good shepherd. And he promises us that feast will last into an eternity. Until then, though, Psalm 23 also has comfort for you and I as we live in this world. Just look at the words of that psalm again. Until then, we know that my shepherd provides, right? In the very first verse, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." God promises to provide all that we need to take care of our body and life. He promises all that we need to care for and nourish our souls. As he does that through word and sacrament, we see that we have a shepherd who restores us, daily restores us. As sin and guilt weigh on our shoulders each day and we turn to God in repentance and confession, God restores our soul by reminding us once again, each and every day, of what our Savior has done for us. He restores us by pointing us to our baptisms. He restores us by assuring us that our sins are forgiven, that we are His sheep. We see that we have a shepherd who guides us, that through His Word He shows us what it means to be a child of God. He guides us through this life. We see in these words that we have a shepherd who protects us and guards us from our enemies, even when that enemy is death. As we walk through that dark valley of the shadow of death, we might feel alone, and yet what does our good shepherd promise us? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have nothing to fear, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So that even when that great fear all of us have of death, it's not something we need to fear because our shepherd is with us, guiding, guarding, and leading. King David also points out that our good shepherd comforts us in life and in death with the news of a shepherd who loves us, and ultimately a shepherd who blesses us eternally in heaven. What joy, what comfort is ours. Because our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives to be our shepherd. In the words of the hymn that my mom actually sang to me when I was a kid, "I am Jesus' little lamb." It sings that the same truths of Psalm 23, doesn't it? "I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am, for my shepherd loves me," right? Provides for me, cares for me. What a wonderful truth to be able to look at the words of Psalm 23, confidently declare that I am Jesus' little lamb. And as Jesus' little lamb, to know I have a shepherd. Our Redeemer lives to be our shepherd. Amen.